use my efforts for his glory and his purposes. But like I said, it's a joy to be here and to fellowship with you and to see each one of you. May God bless you as you continue to follow Jesus and seek to fulfill his will in your life. And may his blessing be upon your congregation as you reach out to your community, as you continue to reach out to your community. So I'm wondering, what have you been hearing lately? Have you heard the wind howling at night sometimes? Other times the wind is really quiet, isn't it? Maybe you've heard the Canada geese honking, something like that, right? As they fly over you. Maybe you've heard some birds chirping in your backyard. Maybe you've heard other things. What kind of things have you heard? Or maybe you haven't had time to sit in your backyard and listen. If you sat in your backyard and listened, you'd probably hear some cars and some buses and some trucks and maybe a train, or we live close enough to the track to hear the train. Maybe you don't. But you would also hear helicopters, and then if you would listen more carefully, you'd hear some kids playing, right? You would hear some door slamming, yeah? You'd hear some people coughing, and you'd also hear some dogs barking. All kinds of things, all these noises around us. And yet, why isn't it that we usually don't hear those things? They're all around us, and well, we've trained ourselves to block them out, right? That's part of it. And we're so busy doing something else, focusing on whatever it is, that we're not listening to all of those other sounds, even if they were important to us. And so usually we are listening to something else, and we don't even hear the other things. And so the other things kind of control our lives and overpower the other things that should be coming to us. I remember calling my kids. And sometimes they didn't hear me because they were so busy playing with each other or with their friends from the neighborhood. Or when they became teenagers, then they were always listening to music, and the music was more important than whatever dad might have to say. And so they didn't hear me because of the music that was going in. Well, my family was living in Japan. For part of the time, we lived on a very busy intersection. And so kitty corner from our house across the intersection was a gas station. And back then, Japan did not allow self-service. And so and when a car would come up, people would say, "Irashaimase," and they would just, "Welcome, welcome," and they would yell really loud. And we could hear all of this. And they had a bell on the outside of the gas station for their phone in case somebody would phone. And we could hear that bell even better than we could hear or the own bell of our own phone in our own house. That's how loud it was. That went on as long as the gas station was open, morning till night. And sometimes we couldn't hear the important things that were happening in our own home. Sometimes it is the noise in our lives that keeps us from hearing the really important things. Just think about that for a moment. In fact, we often don't hear God's voice because of all of the other things that we're listening to. Have you had that experience lately? And it reminds me of the story that we just had read now of Samuel hearing things. Not sure what they were, right? And so we want to look at this story together today and see how he learned to listen for God's voice, and then learn to listen to God's voice. And so look again at this, the story there in Samuel, and the 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Actually, today in sharing this message with you, I want to do two things. Not only share what's in this passage, but also suggest another way in which you can study the Bible. I think there's many good ways out there, and maybe you've heard of this one before, but we want to ask four questions that will help us discern what God is saying to us today. And the first question is, what is the plot? And so when you would come to a passage, you would want to know, what is the story? What is the plot? What is being said here? The very first basic question. So if you look there together with me, today's story is about Samuel, of course, a very young boy. And according to verse 1, Samuel served the Lord, which is a great thing, under Eli. Okay, it's significant that that is in there because we find out that Eli wasn't really doing his job later on, okay? But anyway, so this is the situation, part of the situation that we need to understand. Now, Eli was the priest, and he had become old, and his sons also served as priests. But sadly, it seems they didn't love God anymore. Things had gone badly. They, in fact, were disobedient to God. That's the situation. And they took more of the offerings for themselves than they were allowed to. Right? And so, in fact, the Bible speaks of these people as being wicked against God. And so they had no regard for the Lord, it says later on in the book. And so what was the result of this situation? It's actually a really disturbing phrase to read. The word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare. I hope that would never be said of me or my home or you and your home or this church or other churches. But the word of the Lord was rare. That means they didn't hear God's voice, even though I'm sure God was speaking. Right? God always plans to speak, I believe. And so they were not listening well enough to hear God's voice. And so they filled their lives with so many other things. They pursued their own pleasures. And that meant they didn't focus on listening and then hearing God's voice. They were sinful and didn't want to listen to God's voice. And verse 13 says that Eli failed God in the responsibility of teaching his sons. Also, he didn't restrain them from doing evil. We too have the responsibility towards our young people, our children, our youth, young adults, all of us, that we learn how to hear God's voice. We need to mentor and train one another to enjoy God's presence and to serve him well. But more specifically and more basically, to hear his voice. Verses 2 and 3 tell us what probably happened every night. The day was over, and it was time to sleep. And so Eli, it says, was almost blind, right? And so in verse 3, we read that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Not yet gone out. That means every night the lamp ran out of oil and it went out. But this time it had not yet done so. But the lamp was supposed to be tended by the priest, was it not? Until morning. That means Eli didn't do his job. And his sons didn't do it either. But Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord near the ark of God. Eli was in his usual place, wherever that was, but some distance from where Samuel was sleeping because Samuel had to run to him, so it was a distance away. Somehow, Samuel was close to the ark, but Eli was far. And so the ark, as you know, symbolized the presence of God among his people. But during this usual night where everything was so usual for Samuel, something very unusual happened. Look at verses 4 and 5, and I'll read them again for you. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Notice that first he said, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli. And again he says, "Here I am." Do you see this young boy having a sense of urgency? Having the beginnings of an obedient heart? And a desire to serve? A recognition that the old man, like some of us are getting old, right, might need some help? All of these things. A readiness to minister, an eagerness to respond. Beautiful things in this heart of this young little boy. Perhaps Samuel thought it was a false alarm. Maybe Eli, being so old, didn't realize that he'd actually called Samuel. But then it happened again a second time. Look at verses 6 and 7. Again the Lord called, "Samuel!" And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. What do you think? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, it says, right? The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Well, because the word of the Lord was rare, right? We're not sure, but Samuel could have been maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. And he didn't understand what was going on. The poor guy, right? We understand because we have the whole story, but he didn't understand what was going on. He heard his name being called. And so he goes to Eli, but again, he was mistaken. Perhaps, I guess he could have thought he was just hearing things. But verse 7 explains the reason. Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. Why? Why didn't he know the Lord yet? Because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, because the word was rare. It seems very much that he was willing to hear, but it had not come through Eli, right? It is through God's word that people come to know God. And so when you share God's love and salvation with people around you, be sure that you also introduce God's word, the good news, the gospel as we call it, right? It was through God's word then, and it is through God's word today that people come to know God, his purposes for them, his purposes for the world, and his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. And so even though Samuel was in the temple, he hadn't been listening to God. He obeyed Eli. That's a good thing. But it was probably because Eli wasn't faithful to God that Samuel didn't get to know God sooner. And that hurts me to hear that, because in some ways I've had the responsibility that Eli had. And all of us in different roles, particularly as parents, have that responsibility too. And we want to be sure that the word of God is not rare in our lives. That the situation would not come about where God hardly speaks to us, or that we hardly listen. And so can you imagine how Samuel felt going to lie down again? He certainly was filled with excitement and expectation, and he probably couldn't sleep anymore. He was just wondering, what has happened? Why am I hearing my voice being called? Right? Sure enough, in verse 8, it happens again. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Now notice verse 9. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Finally, Eli realized what was happening. It was God calling Samuel. Why did it take so long for Eli to recognize this? Again, it pains me to think of how many times I may have missed God's call, his voice, and others may have missed his voice because of that. Finally, he realized what was going on. Why did it take so long? Perhaps it was his age. All of us are getting older, right? And some of you young people don't understand that yet. But when your grandpa gets older, your grandma, you're going to see these things happen. But it was more than that. It was probably because his heart was no longer listening to God as it once had. Not only was he going blind, but his heart was going deaf. The ears of his heart were going deaf. Imagine how excited Samuel was, though. Would the Lord call one more time? 3 times, maybe. three strikes and you're out type of thing. Like, would God do it one more time? He was probably wondering as he went back to bed and lay there, would the Lord come again? And it happened. So look at verse 10. God was calling him again. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Oh, he must have been excited to say those words. This time, Samuel didn't run to Eli. He didn't wonder who was calling. He knew it was the Lord. And so he responded to the Lord by saying, speak, for your servant is listening. Then in verses 11 to 14, God spoke a very difficult message to Samuel. God told Samuel that Eli and his sons would be punished for their unrepentant sin. That was the first word that he received from the Lord. Can you imagine? Not hearing God's voice and not knowing God's word up until then, hearing this type of message regarding Eli and his sons. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So that meant he must also obey the Lord. And so verses 15 to 18 tell us what happened next. Samuel went back to bed. And in the morning, he did the usual thing. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Then his name was called again the fifth time, right? But this time it was Eli. It was Eli, and he said, here I am. And in verse 17, Eli demanded that Samuel tell him what God had said to him. He said, do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything he told you. Imagine that. I find it so interesting that he used that expression. May God deal with you, be it so ever severely. That he used that expression when God was going to deal with Eli and his sons so severely. Because they had not listened to God's word and not obeyed God. In verses 19 to 21, we read how God blessed Samuel for listening and obeying. Verse 19 says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. It seems Eli didn't listen to and obey God's word voice anymore. And so God's words to Eli, it seems, were falling to the ground, but Samuel's were not. Samuel listened. And because of that, God didn't let Samuel's words fall to the ground. Through his word, God continued to reveal himself to Samuel. And we know much of the rest of his life, right? How it went. He committed himself to serve God, and he did. And so God's word was no longer rare. No longer rare. So the first question we've asked is, what's the plot? What's the story? We have an idea of what happened, right? The second question we need to ask when we're studying God's word and we're wanting God to speak to us is, what's the point? What is the point of this story? What is the point of this passage? What is the point of this proverb or this parable or whatever you're studying? Bless you. And this story is about hearing. Listening and hearing. And the story is about us coming to realize that we hear best when we're in good relationship. Those of us who are married know how poorly we hear sometimes when there's something between us, right? Husband and wife. But then when those things are cleared up, we hear each other much better. And there's other days we hear the other person very well, but we're pretending we don't or wishing we didn't hear them, right? And so this story is about learning to hear and to listen to God's voice. and be in right relationship, not the way Eli and his sons were, but to be right relationship with God so we hear him well and that we can put into practice what he is teaching us. And so Samuel listened to God's voice, and he received what God had said. And as a result, God's word wasn't rare in his life, nor did Samuel's words fall to the ground. And I'd like to suggest and believe that the same can be true for us. That was the point of the story then, but I believe it still is the point of the story now. We hear best when we are in good relationship with God. We actually hear each other better when we're in good relationship with God, not just hearing him, but each other as well. And so if we listen for God's voice, his word will come to us. And if we humbly say, "Here I am, speak, Lord, your servant is listening," I believe God's word will come to us. And then our words will not be in vain. They will not fall to the ground because they are God's message to us for others. God's will and his purposes will be done in our lives and in the lives of others. And the word of the Lord will not be rare. Eli and his sons didn't hear from God much anymore. And we can see that the relationship with God needed repair. And so when Eli's sons didn't listen to God, he spoke to Samuel. And he had to learn to discern God's voice. It wasn't the old man talking anymore, but it was actually God. Think of a new mother. Maybe she brings the baby to church for the first time and there's a bunch of babies. And maybe in the first few weeks she doesn't recognize her own baby's voice, but it doesn't take long and she knows for sure, that's my baby crying. That's not it. It's this one. And then in the same way, over time, the baby comes to understand mother's voice and father's voice. And until we have a relationship with God, and until we learn what his voice is like, we do not really know his voice. And sometimes it might sound like something else, or somebody else calling us, even as Samuel mistakenly thought for those first three times. And so it takes time for God's voice to become familiar to us. Also, if we become too busy or preoccupied, we won't hear God's voice, or we will hear it but not recognize it as being God's voice. And so whether we listen to God and obey him or not makes a huge difference for us, but also the work of his kingdom. It has eternal consequences. The work that Jesus did for us on the cross is of such value that everyone must hear, because the destiny of their soul depends on whether they hear and receive or not. And it is through God's word that people come to know God and his kingdom and his ways. We must remember that. We get to know God by his word. And without his word, we can easily go astray. And so we must emphasize that. And as God speaks to us, we start to know him. And then we're able to trust him. And as we listen more, we obey him and are used by him in his purposes. And so God still speaks to people today, not just back then to Samuel, but to us as well. And because we have the Bible now, God primarily speaks through the Bible. But through the Holy Spirit, he also speaks to us in other ways. For example, when we are walking with God, he speaks to our spirit. Often God communicates to us through other people, hopefully this morning through me, but also through the music that we sang today, and it was done so well. And sometimes he speaks to us through difficult experiences. Other times through a mountaintop experience he speaks to us. Or in other occasions it may be through a dream. He moves in our hearts through creation when we take a walk and see the beauty of God's handiwork. But please remember this, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you must never contradict what God has already said in His Word. And so we must be discerning and compare it and make sure that what we hear is accurate. God does not lie. He will not make mistakes. He will speak truth to us that will be in line with His Word. And therefore, whenever God says to us, it must agree with what He says in His Word. And if we hear something that doesn't agree with the Bible, we can be quite sure that it's not God speaking to us. And so let me emphasize again, the point back then and the point today is that God wants to speak to His people. That's the way He operates. And for some people, that's a fearful thing, a scary thing. But it should be a good thing for all His people. And so we've asked, what's the plot? What's the point? The next question is, so what's the problem? You see, when we go to God's Word and we read it, we see how we've fallen short. We see how we don't match up. We see how we cannot do this in our own strength. And so there is always a problem that we are confronted with when we study God's Word. And so when it comes to hearing God's voice, perhaps the problem is that we're just too preoccupied with many other things, too busy. Or it may be that sometimes we have become dull, that we're not hearing that well. It may be that we don't even want to hear God's voice on occasion. Yeah, I've been there too. Other times, there's so much sin in our lives that the sounds are not coming through. God's voice is not coming through very clear. And so we sometimes want to avoid the opportunities, the situations in which God would speak to us. And so some people might have avoided Sunday morning today, or last week, or whenever it was, because they can be sure that they will hear God's word here through His servants. And so if we are trying to avoid God's voice, we're very similar to Eli and his sons. And then the next generation, Samuel will not know. Often our hearts are far from God. Just like when we leave our phone in our jacket pocket and put it in the closet and then go to another room, we don't hear it ringing, right? It's too far away. And usually the problem with not hearing God's voice is our fault. No, it's never God's fault, but it can be other people's fault too, but it is primarily our own fault. God is always eager to communicate with us. We can be assured of that. Yes, there are times when God seems silent, but His word continues to speak, and probably by the next morning He will speak to us again. And so we need to be ready to hear, and we should anticipate and welcome God speaking to us. You see, God has many reasons to talk to us and to speak to us. And when He does speak, He often calls us. And we have many stories in the Bible, like that of Abraham and Moses and others, who were called by God. But He also does much more than just calling us. He reveals Himself to us. And everything about God is good. Everything about God is beautiful. And so the more He reveals, the more we see His beauty and the glory of Him. And so He reveals Himself to us, but He also teaches us His way, the way in which we should walk. And He guides us so that we don't go astray and get off the path. And He comforts us when we are in deep sorrow and grief. And He strengthens us. Every day we are weak, right? But His strength is there for us. And He's one who encourages us through His Spirit so that we might be able to continue. And He communes with us and calls us friends. Can you imagine a life like that, where God would speak to us, not just calling us, not just telling us what to do, but all of these other things would become a part of your daily life? The problem that those things are not happening is usually us. We have to deal with that. But look at the potential. That's the fourth question. What is the potential?
What is the potential when we apply God's word and his power in our lives? The reality is that God wants to speak to his people, and he does. And the potential is that we can hear his voice, listen, and then obey. Jesus is our shepherd, the Bible tells us, right? And it says that his sheep hear his voice, right? He knows his sheep, and they know him. There's that relationship. Wouldn't it excite you if God would speak to you more frequently? And would you really listen? Tell me, how would you experience God? Would it be like Samuel thinking, okay, Eli's calling? Or do you already know the voice of God well enough to know that, no, it's not Eli, it's God speaking? Imagine hearing God in your normal day. Just visualize in your own heart and mind how your trust in God would deepen if you heard from God more often. Or consider how you would know Jesus more deeply, more fully, if you heard from God more often. Think about how he could give you direction for your life when you've got decisions to make. Or imagine how close you would become to Jesus. One of my frequent prayers is this, like two prayers together, but God, I want to hear your voice and discern it well. And I want to sin less. I still sin too much, right? And the more I hear from God, I believe it will help me to sin less. And so for this to happen, we need to be tuned into God and what he is calling us, speaking to us about. And so we need to be tuned in to him, even as my kids were listening to music back in the day. Just imagine the potential that comes to us when we listen. So let's consider a few practical steps that will help us to be quiet and to open our hearts and the ears of our heart to God and hear his voice. So if we listen, he will speak and he will reveal his love and his kingdom to us. So the way I look at this is it would be daily discipleship. What each day would be like as a disciple of Jesus. So first of all, set aside time for Bible reading. I don't know what kind of plan you have to read the Bible, but at least read a chapter a day or whatever works for you. But the God who has made us has given us his book. And we need to make sure that it becomes our book. Often it's on my desk or somewhere else, but it hasn't really become my book. And it should. And so the better we know the Bible, the more clearly God will speak to us. Secondly, spend more time in prayer. You see, especially when we pray in private, I'd encourage us to not talk too much. Sorry for those who like to verbally process things with God, that's okay, but make sure we give God a chance to speak. You see, to hear God's voice, we must also listen. That's another lesson that works well in marriages, right? You're supposed to feel loved. They want your attention. So don't just talk to them. Listen to them. And with God, too, we listen. And then we obey. Thirdly, confess our sin. Often when we don't want to listen to God, it's because our hearts are not right with him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I appreciated the confession song today as well. And so if we do that, we will be able to hear well with the ears of our heart. Otherwise, we may go deaf like Eli was in his heart. Number four, find a quiet place to be with God. Maybe a small room in your house, I don't know, or go for a walk to a quiet place, or just sit quietly and close your eyes. Give God an opportunity to speak to you. Number five, practice thinking about meditating on God and his good greatness. You see, when you meditate, set your things, your mind on things above, as Colossians chapter 3 would teach us to do. Rest in the Lord's promises and his presence. I have this image. We don't own any cats, but when I grew up on the farm, we had lots of cats, and it was amazing how so often during the day they were sleeping somewhere, right? And that's why we talk about cat naps. And they're just resting and total comfort and peace and quietness. And I kind of have this image that we should kind of take cat naps where we rest in God throughout the day. Where we say, okay, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment and listen for God's voice. And take that little nap to hear God and to be replenished by Him. No, I'm not saying that you nap all day. Rather, that we should look for those brief moments in our day when we can be in awe of God's great love, when we can be overwhelmed again by His grace toward us, and we can be reminded of the depth and breadth of His salvation. He will reveal Himself to us. Number 6, reduce the noise in our lives. Amid this frantic pace of daily life that we have now, each one of us, we often find it hard to hear God's voice. And we need to turn down the volume, like maybe leave the TV off or switch off our phones for a while. And when we go for a drive, maybe turn off the radio or the music and just think about what God is saying to you. You see, we need to learn that it is sometimes good to live and work in silence. Yes, in silence. Then God can speak. And when He speaks, we should be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening. Listen and obey. Number 7, expect God to speak to you throughout each day. Live with that expectation. When you wake up, God's been awake already. He says, I've been waiting for this moment. And allow Him to speak to you. And when you see the beauty of creation, allow God to reveal Himself to you again. The creation declares His glory, right? And when you see that beauty, allow Him to declare that to you and to speak to you. And when it's time to read your Bible, expect God to say something. And when you face a crisis or a difficult situation, don't believe that God is far. He is near, and He's willing to speak to you. And He will guide you step by step. Or when you come to a church meeting, you should expect that God would speak to you and that He would fill you by His Spirit. Or when you go to bed at night, lie there enjoying God's presence, fall asleep listening to His gentle voice. So think again of all of the noises we hear in life. So many of them are good. So many of them are unnecessary. But many of them are keeping us from hearing God's voice. And so whatever it is that keeps us from hearing God's voice, we should name it. We should recognize what it is. And all of us answer when a call comes, right? Like if your phone rings, you're quick to get it. Or if there's a buzz, you know, you got a text, we're going to quickly go get it. So what keeps us from hearing God's voice? Well, we should name it. We should recognize what it is. And so the question to ask yourself, what gets my attention? What gets my attention? Is it the fancy car that drives by, right? What takes you from where you are to something else? Another way to ask it is, what is calling you? Is it your TV? Or is it our computers? Probably our phones most of the time. It's our text messages, right, are calling us. It's our social media friends that are calling us. It's our favorite music. It's the fridge maybe that's calling some of us, right? And it's the pillow that's calling other people, right? With so many things calling us, how often are we quiet? How often do we hear the voice of Jesus? If we are so bombarded by so many noises, how long could you turn off your phone to listen to Jesus? Like only for a minute? I remember in our church, we had Sunday school, and a new girl came about grade 4, and she had a phone, and she couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work. She was taking a hysterical fit because she couldn't get the next message from her friends. I hope none of us ever become like that. But could you switch off your phone for 10 minutes to spend some time with God? Or for the hour and a half that we're here together? have your phone off? Many people make books, but only God makes people. Also, the books that people make are nothing compared to the book that makes people. And so we need to get into this book. Let's hear from God's voice, hear God's voice every day, because He is speaking, and He will call your name. The question is, are we listening for His voice? God will reveal Himself to us. He will show us His will. He will help us know what is best for His kingdom. And so will we be listening to God? Will we be expecting His voice? Let's bow for prayer. I encourage you to spend a moment now in quietness and listen to God's voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, we humbly bow before you and thank you that you are a God who speaks. We ask for grace by your Spirit that we will learn to listen, that we will hear you better, and that we will be obedient to you. And may the word of God not be rare in our lives, in our homes, in our church, and beyond. Speak to us, O God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.